Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon. Welcome into the Steve Jones Show. News Radio 1070 WKOK and Sean Carey and Steve on his way in to the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, and the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummelsworth. Lots of ways to keep in contact with us. We are on Facebook. Give us a like. We're on Twitter. Give us a follow. Twitter follow at Steve Jones PSU. And our website, stevejonesshow.com. You always have access to 3 months of shows there on our podcast archive page. And you can also get our shows sent to your smartphone and tablet when you subscribe to the Steve Jones Show podcast, available on both the Apple Podcast app, iTunes, and Google Play. So the Phillies with the day off today after a very historic day yesterday for the team, traveling into Williamsport, landing yesterday, about 40-minute plane delay when they landed at the Williamsport Regional Airport in Montoursville about 11:40 yesterday morning, and making their way over to the Little League World Series, all part of the Little League Classic tomorrow night. Last night. Nick Pivetta, rough night, though, only lasting 3 2/3 innings and giving up 6 runs. So he was on the hook for 6 of the 8 runs. 8-2 with the Mets getting the win over the Phillies. Only spark of offense was the 2-run homer by Carlos Santana in the 6th inning, with the ball hitting the temporary video board in left center field. So the Mets taking 3 out of 5 from the Phillies in that long weekend series, and it was a great opportunity for Philadelphia to make some hay. But for a very rare occasion for the Colorado Rockies, as they swept the Braves over the weekend. So the Braves are still one half game up over the Phillies.
Yeah.
They'll be starting a 3-game series down in D.C. tomorrow night. Vince Velasquez and Tanner Roark will be your starting pitchers tomorrow night. So you got...
I'm surprised nobody asked any questions of the players last night about how they were going to spend their $40,000 they each received for going.
Interesting.
What do you think they... That's what I love about this thing. Oh, it's so great. They interact. My understanding is, from somebody I trust, that each player the last 2 years has received $40,000 to go. How about that one? Makes it much easier to interact, doesn't it? How about that one?
And it makes it a lot easier for a player to buy 200 snow cones for the kids, like Tommy Pham did last year.
Exactly. But that's my understanding, is that's the number, because they're playing in a non-major league facility. Now, you saw, who was it last night? Was it Wilkins? Flip over the railing? And that's one of the reasons. You're playing in a park you don't normally play in. I mean, there's, but that's, you're playing in a non-major league facility, even though they've upgraded as much as they can. But that's my understanding. My understanding is that each player gets $40,000 apiece to be there. That didn't come up last night, did it? You're shaking your head. You and I have already had to go through the ringer today. Because the suit is demanding some stuff. And we've now received 3 different emails. He finally sent the attachment.
I didn't even bother reading the third one. So, but
I didn't bother reading them yet. Yeah. I haven't read any of them.
You didn't read the first two.
I didn't read the first two. I just saw one. Now here's the one with the attachment. I thought that means he sent the other two that didn't have it.
Well, the original email we got this morning was kind of cloudy, but we had a meeting this morning that was already scheduled. So it's like, hey, can you kind of clear the air on what you need us to do here for you? So hey, we got it all squared away, and it's something that you can knock out in like 2 minutes. Right. So we're good.
Yeah, yeah.
We're good.
High school football season begins Friday night. Friday night high school football season begins. Needless to say, it's a little panic in one cubicle. Here we are. It's finally here. And I'm going to be at Front Street Station with you on Wednesday. I'm really looking forward to that. I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
Can't wait. I think there could be like a little quick morning shower. And we're fingers crossed it's going to be nice for the rest of the day. And we'll be out on the the outdoor patio.
Absolutely. Out there on the air battling trains. It'll be great.
It's a tradition unlike any other in Norway.
A tradition unlike any other. It'll be great. And today's show, by the way, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. All right. I want to get to this and get out of the gate with this. This is National Radio Day. So at one point I want to get into, because there are very few people in my lifetime that I have ever been around that I think loves radio more than Sean. I asked the suit one time, you know, what does radio mean to you? And he said about $200,000 a year contractually. So I mean, you know, it's, you know,
what was that struck? Or was that a pipe dream? Oh, okay.
Who knows? I just asked him what it meant to him, you know. But I don't think anybody loves it more than you do. And this is National Radio Day. Now, I will tell everybody, and I've told everybody this for years, I obviously have done a lot of TV in my career. Okay, I just did the New York Penn League All-Star Game on TV. And I've done a lot of Big Ten Network stuff in my career. TV and radio do not compare. They don't compare. Radio is exponentially more fun than TV. It's just much more fun. I love the ability to either talk one-on-one with somebody on the air, or when you're doing a game and you're creating, painting pictures, working with somebody. It doesn't compare to TV where the producer's in your ear, the director, hey, we got this shot. Yeah, good for you. That's great. Fabulous shot. You know, it's a much more collaborative. There's no question about that. But radio is much more fun. So we're going to get to Sean's take on radio in a little bit on National Radio Day. Unfortunately, we have to start with this item. And it deals with Ohio State. Brett McMurphy, who has been number one in this story from moment one, put out a story on Saturday. Now, we know what the headline of the story said. Okay, the headline of the story was about items that he bought that were sent to the office and so forth. Okay? Except that's not, to me, the real part of the story was buried in the story that people I don't think have been able to get a handle on. And it's this. Okay? They talk about with all the items he bought and pictures that he took on an Ohio State phone and so forth, about him being with one of the staffers. Okay. And that she ended up being reassigned as a result. That means everybody in the office knew about it, including the supervisor of the office. And who's the supervisor of the office? Urban Meyer. What do you think? Urban walked in one day and said, hey, where's... And they said, oh, they reassigned her? No, he's not going to get reassigned because he's in charge of it. That means that they knew about this. Okay. Now, alone, all right, that's a problem. Okay, standing alone, that's a problem. But now you add into the knowledge that Urban Meyer had at Florida in 2009. You add into the knowledge Urban Meyer had of whatever did or didn't happen in 2015. And now you add this in where a staffer had to be reassigned. And it doesn't matter what order it's in. If the order happens to be, okay, 2009 Florida, then this happens, staffer gets reassigned, then whatever happened between Zach Smith and his wife came to light in 2015. If it's in that order now, it's like, oh, you get this on top of this. Or you flip it around. Whatever happened in 2015 between Zach and Courtney Smith, followed up then by the staffer having to be reassigned. Doesn't matter what the order is. You have to ask yourself, why did he continue to keep him on the staff? Each one you can sit there and you can discuss and say, okay, maybe this or maybe that or maybe not this or maybe not that. But when you start adding them all up together, this guy wasn't worth keeping on the payroll. And Urban Meyer kept him on the payroll. It wasn't just one thing. Okay? He's accused of whatever in Florida. He takes the Ohio State job. He hires him. Then all the stuff in 14 and 15, it sounds like in 15, but they had to reassign a staffer. They had to reassign her, which means that there had to be an office move that was made to do that, which means, obviously, the supervisor of the office had full knowledge of why being reassigned. Now, you combine that with the other stuff, and you're sitting back and saying, what in the heck are you keeping this person on for? This person is nothing but trouble. I don't get it. I don't get what the hold happens to be here. I don't get what the... Okay, at some point, loyalty has to be flushed. Like, I could see something and loyalty comes... But when you've got three different items now that are all bad, they're all bad. All three of them are bad. Now, admittedly, yeah, two are at Ohio State, one's at Florida, in terms of the knowledge part of it. But again, by reassigning the staffer... In charge of the office, he has to know that the staffer is getting reassigned. And why? To me, that becomes a huge problem in this story. It's not what's bought. It's not, about pictures and locations of pictures. Okay, those are the salacious headlines. The lead is buried. To me, what's buried in here is to me, the biggest problem. Okay? It shows that they, by reassigning her, it shows that they, as an office, he as a leader, knew. Because she's not going to get reassigned without him knowing. Can't. It's his office. See where I'm driving at here, Sean? To me, this is just another add-on to show that this guy, it was a gigantic problem, and they refused it, and he refused to really do anything about it.
I just, with the connection, just two words that come to mind for me is this Earl Bruce. This is the connection between, with Zach being Earl's grandson. It's as if Urban wanted to, after Coach Bruce's passing, I'm going to keep him on my coaching staff because, I think of the world of Coach Bruce and I want that connection with my football program no matter where I go and where I coach.
But,
I may be throwing a dart at the dartboard with that, but...
But this guy keeps causing problems. Okay? You got 2009, so you've now got a baseline, okay, problem. Where he's accused, Courtney Smith was pregnant at the time. Okay? Now you get 2015, okay? More accusations. All right? And now you've got this other thing with the staffer. Where You see, again, the key part to me is she got reassigned. That doesn't happen unless the supervisor makes sure that she's reassigned. It does. It can't. Okay? Football office, while there are more people than ever working, okay, is still a relatively small work environment. Which means that they knew he did something. Again. My problem is it just they keep adding up. And the more stuff that keeps getting added to the mix here, the more you ask yourself, what in the heck? Why are they keeping this person on? Remember, in these 2013 evaluations, you got all fives. Five's the max number you can get. You got fives, did you? Really? So you see where I'm driving at here with this? Like, it's just, okay, one thing, okay, you can talk about it. Okay, two things, okay, well, it's two now. Wait a minute. Now you add in this, where somebody actually is reassigned, and again, that can't happen unless there is knowledge. And why was it that no matter what, this guy was allowed to survive? Why? What allowed him to keep surviving? And the same thing. It's the same supervisor and the same employee every time. Same supervisor, same employee, all three times. That is problematic. And it was buried in the story. Of course, the big headlines are he bought this, he took pictures of that, well, he was at the White House. Okay, fine. But then if we actually read the story, I'm sitting there going, hold on a second, wait a minute. They reassigned the staffer? That means they knew about it. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. On News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Penn State, by the way, number 10 in the AP poll. I always love when they do these stories now about the poll, where they do a story about the poll, but they don't tell you who's in the poll. Where then you have to go and you have to look the poll up somewhere. You click on the thing that says, okay, let's read about the poll. Roll Tide, Alabama, number one AP preseason poll. They talk about six teams and they never tell you about the poll. Look, I went to look at it to see what number everybody is. Penn State is 10 in the AP poll, 9 in the coaches poll, and the coaches poll came out a bit ago. Alabama 1, Clemson 2, Georgia 3, Wisconsin 4, Ohio State 5, Washington 6, Oklahoma 7, Miami 8,
Auburn 9, Penn State 10, Michigan State 11, Notre Dame 12, Stanford 13, Michigan 14, USC 15, TCU 16, West Virginia 17, Joe Moriarty's group 18.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades because they find the right insurance. That way you're covered. And they find you the best price. Pretty good. Can't ask for more out of your insurance agency than that. And if you have a question, they are there for you. Always. That great commercial that Adam did this summer talking about the man in Canada. Called him and said, am I covered for this? It was a weekend. They had it taken care of. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, Matt Leon in just a few moments. But as always, we want to get to this day in sports history. And then we'll get to Matt and talk about a wide variety of items with him, especially about the Eagles and about the Philadelphia Phillies. All right, on this date in sports history, 1915, the White Sox obtained Joe Jackson from the Cleveland Indians in exchange for Robert Roth, Larry Chappell, and Ed Kleffer and $31,500. Yeah, that's how it happens. Also, on this day, let's see, the United States won the Olympic Games again in women's basketball for the sixth consecutive time at the 2016 Olympics in Rio. Let's see, 1947, Boston Braves hit 1 million in attendance for the first time. Not enough, by the way, to keep them there. And ended up going to Milwaukee eventually. First left-handed catcher in Major League Baseball since 1906, Dale Long, normally a first baseman with the Cubs, played catcher for them in 1958. The Phillies set a record of 23 straight losses, finally beat the Braves. Now they need to beat the Braves on a weekly basis to make sure they get in there. 1980, Bob Watson of the Yankees hit the Seattle Kingdom speaker for the second consecutive day. I think that the ball's ruled in play. It's not a home run. So I think he got, a single out of it? I think that's what he got was a single out of it. Quick suit note, 2004 American swimmer Michael Phelps wraps up the 100-200-meter butterfly double at the Athens Olympics. When he wins the 100-meter, ahead of teammate Ian Croker. And in 2008, Usain Bolt, a 100-200-meter double in style, setting a new 200-meter record, 19.3, at the Beijing Olympics. Just to let you know that things actually do happen in the month of August, which is normally very, very, very slow. Fortunately, Tiger Woods made it more interesting at the PGA that Brooks Koepka won. This is normally the dormant month of the year, but the favorite month for other people. Never understood that.
And then you got the PGA tournament moving to what? May next year, right?
Yeah, no, because they sat back and they said, yeah, we want to get out of August, too. All right. So, Little League World Series, by the way, continues today as well. I just got the email from the suit here. Let's see.
bunch of items about suit light. Finally, down by the bottom, we get to the crux of what's going on. All right, so
back to school time. Summer's over.
What does this mean? That can't happen soon enough. What is it? Okay. Well, all right. Matt Leon, KYW in Philadelphia. Let's talk about the Eagles and the Phillies. Welcome, Matt. Great to have you with us.
Glad to be with you.
All right. Let's start with Nick Foles. Tell us what you know about that.
He's going to be okay. He was back in practice yesterday. A scare with that shoulder injury against New England, but he kind of reading the tea leaves, as ugly as it may have looked. He stayed on the sidelines, didn't need to go to X-ray, and kind of had a feeling it was that they dodged the bullet, and that seems to be the case, as he and Carson Wentz are splitting first-team reps now here at practice.
All right, let's get to the Carson Wentz part of it. You're splitting first-team reps at practice. You're not taking any contact, but is that a strong indicator that he has made the progress they were hoping he would make?
Oh, I still think he's ahead of progress, or ahead of schedule. I think they may have gotten a little ahead of themselves when he was doing, because he was doing 11-on-11 work early in training camp, and I think some of those live drills with bodies flying around him, even though there's no contact, possibility for an accidental collision or something is high, so they throttled back on that. Really, one of the last hurdles is going to be when he's cleared for contact, and he talked today, said it's up to the doctors. And he continues to say he thinks it's going to be close as far as being ready for the opener. So we will have to wait and see. But he's definitely on the right track.
Anything you're taking from these two preseason games? I mean, the laughable part was it's a rematch of the Super Bowl. I'm like, oh, for goodness sakes. That's how you're hyping this game as if it's a preseason game.
Yeah, you're desperate for clicks. But yeah. I think what you saw specifically in with the first team offense in that New England game is you have a lot of guys that are out. You have a lot of guys that have missed a lot of time because of injury or aren't yet returned. And I think you saw that lack of timing, that lack of rhythm as they really couldn't get anything going. Now conversely, when Nate Sudfeld came in, you could tell that he had been playing with a lot of the guys surrounding him all training camp long. Now, obviously, you're going up against twos and threes and stuff like that, but there was more of a rhythm when he was in a quarterback. But I don't think there's not a level of concern, but the thing I took away specifically from that New England game was just, boy, this looks like a unit that has not played a lot of snaps together this summer. And I think that's really kind of the storyline, just because they have so many guys that have been banged up. You've got the whole quarterback situation, and you've got guys that you're trying to – you're easing back after, say, off-season surgery and stuff like that. I'll be interested to see if there's a little bit more of a rhythm on Thursday night when you would expect we'll see the starters as much as we would see them at all this preseason.
Right. And for those maybe wondering, oh, look how much they play Brady. That's what the Patriots have always done with Brady. I mean, so that was just normal. He just played a great game. What about the guys that were hurt at the Super Bowl? Sproles, Peters, guys like that. Where are they in this mix?
I don't think you're going to see them this preseason. And actually, Doug Peterson was asked about that on today's Monday, so it would have been yesterday, Sunday, and basically said that they were making great progress, they were in good shape, and that basically he didn't need to see them in a game. He knows exactly what they can do, and if they're ready to go, they'll be ready to go. Week one's going to be interesting. I think there's going to be a lot of plays at the plate with guys between Brandon Graham, who was just activated off of a PUP, Alshon Jeffrey, Carson Wentz. You know, you talk about Sproles and Peters and stuff like that. I think some of them are going to play, but I would be surprised if they're all ready to go week one. So it'll be interesting to see how this breaks down, but I would be very surprised if Sproles or Peters played a down this preseason. I kind of agree with Doug Peterson. You know, if they look healthy, they tell you they're healthy and they look fine in practice.
Yeah.
They know the drill. They'll be fine whenever they're given the green light.
This is something different. It's the first time since the 1961 NFL season where the Philadelphia Eagles come in as a defending champion. What about personality on this team? Because now, you know, there's another circle on the target to begin with because you are the defending champ. You are something now. Do they have the kind of personality to say, so what, it's 2018?
I think so. I think you will also see them, reach back into their greatest hits, and I think you'll see them play the underdog card, because I think they are the defending champs, but I think there are still enough loud enough voices that kind of say, yeah, they won the title, but X, Y, and Z. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them play that. It'll be interesting. I think a lot of times with stuff like this, you don't know until you know. You can say all the right things. You can, do all the right things in the preseason. And you just don't know until you see it play out and you get an idea of how they're handling it. A lot of it, takes is how do they respond to an early tough situation, stuff like that. Fatigue can also be a factor just because you play so much more football than just about everybody else.
True.
Now, you threw an extra 6-7 weeks onto the season when it's all said and done. So it's going to be interesting. I think they're well built, and I do think they might get off to a bit of a rough start simply because, like I said earlier, all the injuries and the missed timing. I wouldn't be surprised if they sputter the first couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But barring significant injuries into the season, I think they're going to be there at the end once again.
Phillies are interesting. They just lost 3 out of 5 to the Mets. They're right in the thick of this Eastern Division race and the wild card. Now, there's plenty of time left. But what do you think about them right now? And again, let's put this in there. I think everyone pleasantly surprised they're doing what they're doing this year. They're like a year ahead of schedule. But what do you think now? Now they're going to hit the stretch run.
I think they're going to be in until the end. Now, that might not be as much a vote of confidence for them as it is an indictment of the other, of Atlanta and Washington and a couple other the wild card teams, that they are all just as flawed. Because I think for the most part, the Phillies are going to continue to get a very well-pitched game just about every night. Nick Pivetta was bad last night,
yeah.
But that hasn't happened that often here. Between Arrieta, Nola, Velazquez, and Eflin, they've gotten really consistent starting pitching. And also, a guy we've all kind of forgotten about because he's been out all year, but is getting close to coming back, is Jared Eichhoff, who he is not a Cy Young candidate or anything like that, but he is a guy who has been a consistent starting pitcher in this rotation the last couple of years before he got hurt. If they could get something out of him, that would help mitigate, if Pivetta struggles or continues to be up and down, it gives them somebody else to go to. It's interesting. I thought they made a lot of very interesting and very good moves at the deadline, but specifically to attack for the everyday lineup. But I think the offense has actually been more inconsistent since they added these guys. I can't explain it. I don't think it's a chemistry thing. I think it's more probably just coincidence. But they added Cabrera, they added Ramos, and they added Justin Bour. And they've been, this has never been a dynamic offense on a consistent basis this year. But they've really been all over the place here for the last couple of weeks. I think that will even out. And I think it's going to be a fun last 6 weeks. Like you said, this is really house money. I mean, I don't look at this like, you take it for granted, because anytime you get a chance, you never know when the next one's going to come. But I think people just need to enjoy this ride. Like you said, they're ahead of schedule. No one saw this coming. I think even, it's not even the Phillies' record. I think it's just the fact that no one has run away with this, the division that has opened the door. That might be the most surprising thing, because I think we all just assumed Washington was going to be the team.
Right.
They're in it. They play the Braves, whatever it is, 7 times in the last 11 games. They also play Colorado the last week of the season. So it's going to be fun. And you'll see this team, grow up and learn right before your eyes, and we'll see how it lands when the dust settles.
In the end, Acuña might be the difference between the two teams. A dynamic offensive player that can carry a team for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think the Phillies have one in Reese Hoskins. He's a different type of player, but I think if he gives them 2 weeks or so at the right time, where he's a guy capable of hitting 8-9 homers in a 14-game span, it'll be fun. I think the arrow is doing nothing but pointing up for this group. So this will be a great experience one way or the other here down the stretch.
All right. Thanks so much, my friend. Great to hear you. By the way, who's Pena open with?
Bucknell, the Mighty Bison.
Oh, Bucknell. That's the opener. Joe Susan's team. Very interesting.
Yes.
I like that.
Always tough for those Ivy squads because regardless of who they play, it's always week three for the other team and week one for the Quakers. And people don't realize how big a mountain that is to climb when the other team's gotten to work out all the kinks and you're still in that game one mood.
And Bucknell's a good team, too. I mean,
absolutely.
They're a good team. Joe's got a good team. It's going to be interesting to see. All right. I like it. We got a lot to talk about with that one down the road here. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Matt Leon, KYW in Philadelphia. And yes, Matt is the play-by-play voice of Penn football. So you got Matt on one side, you got Doug Birdsong on the other. Two quality broadcasters working a game like that. Am I forgetting anybody?
The field reporter? The analyst?
No. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio. Yes, it's the suit. The suit will be out there. Yeah.
Week from Saturday, William and Mary. That'll be the season opener for the Bison.
And then they got Penn. That'll be interesting. On News Radio 1070 WKOK. By Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. National Radio Day. I don't think anyone loves this industry more than Sean does. I mean, you love radio and the nuts and bolts of it.
I'll tell you, I kind of joke to other people. It's like, you know, I was kind of thrown into this career by default because my grandfather was an original board member of the old Lock Haven Broadcasting Corporation when they first signed on in the mid-1940s. So I got a head start 20 years before I even made my debut on the planet.
Yeah.
So the radio gene kind of hit me by, you know, whether I wanted it to or not. So. I was home from school one morning, one day, third grade, and it was the same day as the Three Mile Island meltdown. I was stuck in bed, and that time there was, you know, no video games, no cell phones, that kind of thing, and just was kind of enamored with the radio all day. And that was the pivot point of my childhood and my career and what I wanted to do.
I would go to sleep at night, and I would have on the radio, and I would flip around, and I'd get KDKA. Now, this is in New England now. This isn't in Pennsylvania. I'm in Connecticut. KDKA and Bob Prince doing the Pirates. Then I'd flip over to WCAU in Philadelphia, and I'd hear the Phillies. And then I'd go to 1090, and I would get the Orioles. Bill O'Donnell, Chuck Thompson. Of course, I always was able to get the Red Sox whenever. Or in the wintertime, the Bruins. Or the New York Giants or the Patriots during the course of the fall. Or the Celtics, whatever it may be. And you know, I would flip around that radio, and I could get Cardinals games on KMOX. Got to be fading in and out. And I always thought, what a great job. You get to go to games and you get to announce it. I never once considered, by the way, that, you know, they pay you for this.
I couldn't wait for nighttime to fall, too, because then you'd get those, you know, radio stations from across the country would you be able to pull in. And this was, of course, before Sports Radio 66, The Fan in New York. It was the old WNBC. You'd listen to music there and be able to pull in 89 WLS in Chicago.
Yes.
It's fun times.
WLW in Cincinnati. Get that as well. I mean, I'd be sitting there at night turning from station to station listening to guys do games. I thought, what a really cool job. And it turns out it really is a really cool job in doing it. It's even better than I thought it was going to be. So, yes, National Radio Day. 9 o'clock Wednesday morning. Ohio State Board of Trustees will meet to discuss and make determinations on the investigation there.
On the field, the Redskins have signed Adrian Peterson to a one-year contract. I'll be honest, I don't know if anybody knows what he has left in the tank. Don't know.
Well, they had to sign a running back with Darius Geis out. Question is, what's Buffalo going to do at quarterback?
Look at Allen. They're going to let, I think the kid's going to, I think it's his job.
Sling it, let it rip?
Yeah. Fling it and sling it. Why not? Next half hour, Ben Jones on Penn State football.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.